Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Respected listeners of Merkaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you to this program. It is our spiritual breakfast, and alhamdulillah, to add inshallah to our spirituality, that is our honorable guest, and that is Hazrat Mulana Musa Akudi Hafidhahullah. Let's welcome Mulana Sab. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you, Mulana?
Alhamdulillah. It's good to hear Mulana's voice after such a long time. I believe, Brother Suleiman told me yesterday before he went on leave that Mulana is sick and caught a bug at one of the countries.
Oh, no. It was just a spider bite that I had. And, I treated it like a boil. And then eventually I went down to the specialist, and then they had to do an surgery and incision and remove everything. So that's why I was admitted to the clinic for a few days. But alhamdulillah, it was a blessing in disguise. And, I did have a growth at that point in my body. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was a ni'mah that the doctor removed, all the infection and the entire growth. And alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, he stitched it also meticulously to cover up that hole, which is approximately 6 centimeters deep. It's with the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was a great ni'mah, and alhamdulillah, I'm feeling very, very well with the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
It's just making me think, we went to Port Edward side, that south coast of Durban. And we, Mulana, we always see for the quiet places where there's nobody. On this particular day when we went, we saw there's absolutely no one at the beach. So we said, perfect, let's go. We went, and my two daughters were with me, small, 7 and smaller than that. So we went in, and we were just standing there because I told the hens, and all of a sudden, so first I got stung by the blue bottle. The first time in my life I got stung by a blue bottle. And then afterwards, it left my whole leg numb and everything. And then afterwards, we said, no, let's take another chance. And then we took another chance, and then it stung my two daughters as well. So afterwards, I was just thinking, looking at, like, what is this blue bottle? So I found one on the sand, and I just was staring at this, and I said, that's what the whole point of life is, to recognize Allah's Qudrat, as Mulana had mentioned. And you just look at this, how this, it looks venomous with its string and everything, but it's just like glass, and that's why they call it a blue bottle, so clear. And you think, but what may Allah instructed you to sting me while I'm in the water now? You could have not done this except with Allah's instruction. So it's all takdir. And from that, then I started to do just a bit of research on the blue bottle and find out facts about it. Allah's system. And these people say, they put the headlines every now and then. They say, we thought we found all the amazing things of the creation, but here we discovered this. And then after some time, they have to retract and say, we discovered this. And you can't come to an end to it.
So, that is today's subject, that I want to tackle, is a little bit about our amal, and to Allah for all his ni'mat. Mulana, speaking about this here, we are so insignificant. We think about ourselves and we say, I did this and I did that and I did that. And you know what? You can just find one mosquito, that stings you, and then you're suffering from malaria. A big human being, 80, 90 kgs in weight, muscular, with a lovely physique and everything, he's a mortal in front of one single mosquito, when you read, you learn. I remember there was a farmer who owned a massive tract of land with bananas and everything in the eastern Transvaal. And he got very, very sick, and they didn't know what it was. They realized that, you get these bags which they cover the bananas when you go down to the eastern Transvaal, you see there. He happened to put his hand in one of them, and just a mosquito had stung him. And they only afterwards discovered that they thought it was a malaria-free area. And then he suffered from malaria. Many years back, I was reading an article in the Reader's Digest. I was still young at the time. That on the Australian coast, you had these jellyfish. And what happened is there was a child with his parents, with his mom at the beach. And then the jellyfish stung onto his chest. Hmm. It's impossible to remove the jellyfish, and it sucks out all the blood from a human being. So this article in the Reader's Digest said that, just a clear sort of a discovery at that particular time. She took vinegar and then she threw it between the jellyfish and the skin of the child, on the chest. And you just find that the jellyfish just fell off, So something that she discovered and she learned at the time. Sometimes you have snails in your garden and you just throw a little bit of salt on top and you just find them melt away. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put these antidotes and things like that as well. But it is absolutely amazing, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why we've got to speak to our children. I remember many, many years back with Murana Haturani Sahab, we went for some dini work to Malawi. We had a sumptuous meal. There was a place, he told me, I'm going to take you for 2 nights to stay at a beautiful place. It was known as Club Makakola. And when we stayed there, I remember, lovely papin, the food was well laid out and everything. And after we ate, then Maulana said, let's go and relax at the beach. Now, although there is a dam, there's a lake, but the water comes in small waves. So we reclined and we were relaxing there. And then there was a huge splash on the water on the right-hand side. And Maulana told me, run. So we started running. And then after a little while, everybody in the resort, they just shouting, hippo, hippo, hippo. Now, to me at that time, Molana, the hippo is just a sea kui, a sea cow.
Gee.
It looks like a cow. What is it, But then I realized afterwards that they say that a lot of lives are lost in Africa, with the hippo, more than even the crocodiles and that. So it was a unique experience when I saw everybody running, shouting hippo, 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 So you have these animals in the jungle and everything. Kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can see. You read about eagles picking up, mountain goats and flying with them in the air. It is absolutely unique. It's so amazing. It's so great. You see, and then when you go down to the Kruger National Park, I remember I went with our brother Farooq, and he's from the Honorary Rangers. So there were two rangers, and we were about 14 ulama, and we spent our time at the Kruger National Park, and we went on this walking safari. They call it the Bush River Camp, and we should go before Subah Sadiq out into the bush, and then we should read our salah on the savannah. It should be so beautiful. And then we should go walking and then, relax in the bush river. And then our rangers would take out their backpacks with the dry fruit and maybe yogurt, and we should have our breakfast and everything. We didn't encounter lion on that particular journey, but buffalo, giraffe, and a few other animals. But he was explaining to us that as you get the big five, then you get the big five among the smaller ones as well. It's quite unique and quite interesting. And we saw spiders' webs, as thick as our little finger, stretching sideways. And then you can actually drive with a car, and it actually goes along with you. And along that, there are so many other webs, that you see. And the unique thing is that the spider walks on the web, it will not stick. But if any other insect comes, it just gets caught in the web, So, like the World Wide Web, how people get caught in it, and I suppose that's how it got its appropriate name. So these are the things that we see in nature. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbana ma khalaqta hadha batila, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't create anything without any purpose. Everything has got a purpose. It is so unique, the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so beautiful, so wonderful. There's so much to learn. So the great outdoors also brings with it all its excitement as well. In terms of snakes, everything also, now our children should learn about snakes which are venomous, those snakes which are not venomous. I remember when I was young, I should like to go fishing to a place known as Klipfur Dam, you know, and it's other side Brits. And that was now snake territory. And I remember my son was probably a year old only, maybe. And I put that water stretcher, so I put him on a stretcher. And just passed him, you know, a snake wriggled past and just went away. And my mother-in-law shouted, you know, hump, like snake, 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 you know. So you encounter all these things in the wild. And a lot of people spend their lives studying these particular things. We once went to Southwest Africa, and on Walvis Bay, as we were fishing, in the morning, early part of the morning, there were wild dogs that came. We left our rods and came back into our bucket, and we sat and waited for the dogs to go back. And when the dogs went away, it was a system of ecology that these sometimes the seals are bitten by the sharks, and then they are washed ashore. And these dogs come and eat them, and that's how the area remains clean. So in the distance behind us, then we saw a vehicle, and we walked up to that particular vehicle, and we met this man there. He camped out in the bush for approximately 6 months, and he's studying the lives of these wild dogs, you know. So he's actually dedicating his time. So many of them, you know, they go on this wildlife photography, and they stay out for months in the bush or in the Arctic Circle, and what are they doing with the Qudrat and the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do a detailed study on them, and you know, their mating processes, and you know, they eating and everything, they to the minutest detail study these particular animals. Some people are studying penguins, and they stay in colonies where the penguins are, etc. So it's absolutely interesting, you know, the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. You look in the Kruger National Park, and then you see the color of the birds. Some people don't worry about the lion or the pig and the cheetah. They're more interested in seeing the, the birds. And if you look at the colorful birds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, you have an opportunity sometimes to go and see some of these in the zoo or something like that. And you see the macaw, and you see the parrots, and you see the combination of colors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put into the feathers of these birds. It is absolutely astounding, the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's quite a fascinating creation. And then if you look into the oceans, I mean, I remember now when we went to Zanzibar, there was one area we went to, and you know, you just throw bread, and then the colorful tropical fish that come out there in their hundreds. It is so beautiful, so beautiful, so beautiful that you can sit for hours and admire all the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely unique how beautiful they are. And they spend their lives in the ocean. And I don't think mankind has even maybe conquered 20% of the ocean. There's such unique creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the ocean as well. So if you look at the color of the saltwater marine fish, you know, sometimes in the aquariums and that, it is absolutely amazing. And I always tell people, I said that whenever you go, you know, instead of going to man-made places, there are a few exceptions, but to go and see Disneyland, you know, to go and see all these places here, it holds really no virtue, because you get involved more in vice than anything else, you know, casinos and gambling places and all these things here. But there are a few man-made places, like if you go down to Sutherland in the Cape, and if you see, you know, the galaxy through those telescopes they got there, you know, it is SALT, SALT, they call it, the Southern Africa's largest telescope. And then if you look at the Saturn and Jupiter and look at the galaxy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, that Al-Wa'inna lahu lamusi'un. I remember I saw a visual in Medina Munawwara about the galaxy on a very, very, very wide screen. Was saying there that glory be to Allah, you know, that He created the galaxy and it is 23 billion years wide. And وَإِنَّا لَهُ لَمُوسِعُونَ. And we keep on expanding it. And it's just actually like growing the galaxy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes, you know, I went down to a place known as Pafuri many years back, and my friend booked this place there, and we lived, we stayed in some three houses on stilts, and it was so magnificent that the front and the back of those three houses just had some mesh on it. And as you lie down, you know, at the bottom, or if you came on top into your room, you saw the Milky Way. It was glittering, so beautiful. Absolutely astounding, man. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran Majid, سُمَّرْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ. You know, هَلْ تَرَى مِنْ فُطُورٍ. Look back at the galaxy. And do you find any fault in it? Do you find any deficiency in it? Just look at it. So sometimes you might take your children out in the open. Just go and see, you know, the when it's not a moonlit night, and just go and see. The moonlit night has got its own beauty also. You know, you see the moon playing on the waves of the ocean, which I witnessed also in Zanzibar. Absolutely beautiful. And now you look at the galaxy and you look at the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can show the children the North Stars and to determine the direction of Qibla. Well, bin Najmi, I think, or Quran Sharif Ayah, something to that effect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you, you know, even by means of these stars and everything. So you look at a galaxy, how beautiful it is. So you get some man-made places, like, you know, the South African in Sutherland, you know, the telescope, the telescopic place to go and see the various, in the galaxy, you'll see Jupiter and Mars and Saturn and Venus and all these things here, and the different moons, smaller moons, everything. It is absolutely amazing. So I also tell the people, I said that, you know, when we go for Hajj, I said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us to Qabristans to see, so we can take heed. Mountains, ayats were revealed, mountains where Rasul Paksallahu sought refuge in the cave of Hira, mountains where Rasul Paksallahu alayhi wa sallam led battle, you know, Mount Uhud, and as Musa alayhi wa sallam went to Mount Tur, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, arini anzur ilayk, that's one place Allah must take us to as well. Oh Allah, you know, like, make expose yourself so that I can see you. Allah Ta'ala told him, Lan tarani. You know? So I remember a sheikh saying on this particular point is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the noble Quran, you know, Kallam Allahu Musa taklima. And Hazrat Musa alayhi salam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And naturally, after you speak to somebody, then you have the desire to see that somebody. So Hazrat Musa alayhi salam said, Rabbi arini anzur ilayk. So I can look at you, Ya Allah. You know, so I can, you can display, you can show yourself, Ya Allah. And then Allah Ta'ala told him, Lan tarani. And then falamma tajalla, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala manifested his nur, you know, on the mountain, then, you know, the mountain actually round. And they say that the bottom end of the mountain came up to get a glimpse of the nur of Allah, of the tajalli of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kharra Musa sayqa, the Musa alayhi salam fell down on the ground unconscious. So these are the mountains also that the Quran Majid speaks about. Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mount, the various mountains, Mount Judi, where the ship of the Ark of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam had rested, you know, it came to a halt. When he was building this, then they were mocking at him, you know, and then he said, my Allah will knows why I'm building it, and my Allah will look after me. And then eventually when the waters rose, and then he told his son, and his son said, I'll take refuge in a high mountain. And between them came a strong wave. And then his son was washed away, you know, and he drowned. So these ayat are mentioned in the Noble Quran, you know, regarding places as well. So the ship came to rest on the Mount Juji as well. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the final grace, created these things. And then you go down to the areas where the battles have taken place. Like we particularly see the Battle of Uhud, where the Battle of the Trench had taken place with the Confederates, when they all came together. And then the Battle of Badr as well, which were all historically very, very, very important battles that we've seen these particular places. So these are the places we must take our children to go and see, to say how important these battles were. That in the Battle of Badr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the eve of that battle, he cried so much. Perhaps those tears were the most valuable tears of our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Allah, if a small band of worshippers have to perish this day, then there will be nobody else left to take your name." And then cemeteries, you know, Qabristan, Jannatul Baqi, Jannatul Mu'alla, you know, the different cemeteries, you know, their whole significance. We go to these particular cemeteries. And then there are masjids, you know, that we go and see. Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bayt al-Kaaba Sharif, you know, inna awwala bayti wudi'a lin-nas lalladhi bakkata mubarak wudan lin-nas, you know, bayinatin min al-huda wal-furqan. We see the Kaaba Sharif, and then Masjid al-Aqsa, you know, the Masjid al-Usli ala taqwa min awwali yawmin ahakwa an taqquma fi Masjid al-Quba. Mention of it is made in the Noble Quran as well. So Masjid al-Aqsa, we tell our children, let's go out to Masjid al-Aqsa, because our oppressed brothers there wait for our arrival at Masjid al-Aqsa. And then we can walk on the sands of Masjid al-Aqsa, an entire 144,000 square meters, where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led the Anbiya. You can imagine what a great occasion that was as well. And then you have a chance to put your foot on that particular place. And I say, like, you travel in other parts of the world, you go to aquariums. And in the aquarium, you are able to see the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, the different fish, the different species. And then, you know, you see the ragged tooth shark. And then you see the normal sharks. And then you'll see all the other pompanos and different kinds of fish Allah created. Ya Allah, your kudrat is so wasi, Ya Allah, your might and your power, you know, you can just think about it. And then when you go down to the Kruger National Park, also you see all this and you define and you say that this is the kudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But my Sheikh went to the National Park, and some foreigners made a statement that they said it's very peaceful here. So, you know, his companions told him that this is the statement that they made. He says, "Yeah, I heard it, and it is peaceful here because there is no ma'asiyat and guna that takes place here equivalent to the cities. That is why it's so peaceful here." So you find Rasulullah went to the cave of Hira, where the first ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is revealed, "Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq. اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم." That revelation that changed the destiny of mankind. They took them out from the depths of degradation and made the Sahaba Kiram, you know, leaders in the world, and they conquered land upon land with the beauty, the noble deeds of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Quran Majid in their hand. They traversed the universe and they went, you know, and they took things along with them. So that happened in the cave of Hira. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created these caves. Allah has created these mountains, these battlefields, these cemeteries, these masajid. These are the places that we must go and visit instead of going to man-made places. But the exception of a few man-made places, like I was saying, where you can see these things here. Sometimes you go into some museums, you know, and then take your children out to a planetarium. You know, you can see the whole galaxy and an explanation and the various formations of the stars and everything, the designs they make and everything. Although they've got their own thing, but you know, when we were young, we didn't know we would read the stars foretell. You know, and then only we come to realize in the madrasa, it's not part of the curriculum. that this is absolutely haram, that you cannot take an omen from the stars in any way whatsoever. But you'll still find that if your children look into their books or anything like that, and Scorpio and Piscus and, you know, different names, Sagittarius and all these people things, they show you his formation. But to us, that means nothing whatsoever. And then, you know, the shaitan that goes, and the Quran maybe speaks about it, he wants to listen to the conversation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Malaika, and then he's struck down in the falling stars. And our children make a wish when there's a falling star. But actually, that is the shaitan that is whooped and threshed at a particular time that is actually falling, and that's a falling star. So all these things we educate ourselves on. But there's so much to learn with Mother Nature and to see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the end, you know what I was going to speak about is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكُ وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. The mulk in the kingdom is his. And he has power over everything. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Mort and hayat, death and life. Allah used the word death first. And there is great hikmat in that as well, because we must remind ourselves that death is an eventuality. And death is the reality which will bring about a new existence. So Allah Ta'ala created death in الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا, so that he may test you who of you is good as far as his deeds and his actions are concerned. And our life is full of deeds. Everything that we do is deeds. We take a step, it's an act at something that we are doing. We're either walking towards right or we're walking towards wrong. And that is why إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. Those who bring iman and they work righteous deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared for their entertainment the gardens of paradise. So iman, together with his mention, عَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, to do good actions. So Allah ta'ala created life and death, you know, for all the experience that we have in this death, in life, wherever we go, Allah ta'ala has created it for a'mal. Inshallah, when we meet again, we talk about a'mal, its importance and significance in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of making a'mal. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Jazakumullah khairan, Mulana, for those words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspire us all. I actually, inshallah, soon we must do, I know Mulana mentioned about learning how to get used to greenery and planting and all of this. In fact, last night, Hazrat Mullah Shabir Saluji Damat Barakatu also mentioned about the coming of Dajjal and the one world government which they are aiming for, seeking for, and how they are seeking as well to take over the food system. And we need to, this is now where Mulana said previously on other occasions, that we must learn how to now plant and get involved in these things. So inshallah, I would like to do maybe a course for us simple-minded people. And where can we, so like this week, this weekend, this Saturday, let's see how, what's our first step, where do we start? Maybe inshallah in our next program we can just forthcoming up. Yeah.
Very interesting, Morana, what you just put your finger, you know, on a pressing button.
Inshallah.
Eventually food is what we need, and we've got to become food sufficient. And you can see that in the world now there are organizations, they are creating Save Our Seeds campaign. Because these people are trying to create a monopoly on seeds with a genetically modified one. So our children must delve into this and also find out. I'm looking at a small seed out of it being genetically modified. I don't know anything much about it. But if anybody who's listening and they know about this here, they should contact you and inshallah they can come along. I have a relative, inshallah, who knows, who's an agricultural technician. Maybe we can get him one day onto the show and he can explain to us also, you know, about all these things here. Yeah.
Inshallah. Jay. Yeah. Make dua for us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was Hazrat Mulana Musa Akuri, Hafidhahullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.